The Mysteries of Paris, Volume 3, by Eugène Sue. Chapter 1. The Temple, Part 1. To the deep snow which had fallen during the past night had succeeded a very sharp wind, so that the ordinarily muddy pavement was hard and dry, as Rigolette and Rodolphe wended onwards to the immense and singular bazaar called the Temple, the young girl leaning unceremoniously on the arm of her cavalier, who, on his part, appeared as much at his ease as though they had been old familiar friends. "What a funny old woman Madame Pipelet is," observed the grisette to her companion, "and what very odd things she says."
"Well, I thought her remarks very striking as well as appropriate."
"Which of them, neighbor?"
"Why, when she said, 'Young people would be young people,' and 'Vive l'amour.'"
"Well?"
"Well, I only mean to say those are precisely my sentiments."
"Your sentiments?"
"Yes, I should like nothing better than to pass my youth with you, taking Vive l'amour for my motto."
"I dare say, for certainly you are not hard to please."
"Why, where would be the harm? Are we not near neighbors?" "Of course we are, or else I should not be seen walking out with you in this manner in broad day."
"Then you allow me to hope?"
"Hope what?"
"That you will learn to love me."
"Oh, bless you, I do love you already."
"Really?"
"To be sure I do. Why, how can I help it? You are good and gay, though poor yourself. You have done all in your power by interesting rich people in the fate of the Morels. Your appearance pleases me, and you have altogether a nice look, and a sort of air such as one is glad to find in a person we expect to go about with a great deal. So there, I think, are abundant reasons for my loving you."
Then, suddenly breaking into loud fits of laughter, Rigolette abruptly exclaimed, "Look there! Only look at that fat woman with the furred shoes! What does she remind you of? I'll tell you, of a great sack being drawn along by two cats without tails." And again she laughed merrily.
"I would rather look at you, my pretty neighbor, than at all the fat old women or tailless cats in Europe." "I am so delighted to find you already love me."
"I only tell you the truth. If I disliked you, I should speak just as plainly. I cannot reproach myself with ever having deceived or flattered anyone. But if a person pleases me, I tell them so directly."
Again interrupting the thread of her discourse, the grisette drew up suddenly before the windows of a shop, saying,
"Oh, do pray only look at that pretty clock and those two handsome vases. I had already saved up 3 francs and a half, and had put it in my money-box to buy such a set as that. In 5 or 6 years I might have been able to buy them."
"Saved up, do you say? Then I suppose you earn—"
"At least 30 sous a day, sometimes 40. But I never reckon upon more than 30, which is the more prudent. And I regulate all my expenses accordingly," said Rigolette, with an air as important as though she was settling the financial budget.
"But with 30 sous a day, how do you manage to live?"
"Oh, bless you, that is easily reckoned. Shall I tell you how I manage, neighbor? I fancy you are rather extravagant in your notions, so perhaps it may serve as a lesson for you."
"Yes, pray do."
"Well, then, 30 sous a day make 5 and 40 francs a month, do they not?"
"Yes."
"Well, then, out of that I pay 12 francs for lodging. That leaves me 23 francs for food, etc."
"Is it possible? 23 francs for 1 month's food?"
"Yes, really, all that. Certainly, for such a person as myself, it does seem an enormous sum. But then, you see, I deny myself nothing."
"Oh, you little glutton."
"Ah, but then remember, I include the food for both my birds in that sum."
"Certainly it seems less exorbitant, when you come to reckon, for 3 than for 1. But just tell me how you manage day by day, that I may profit by your good example."
"Well, then, be attentive, and I will go over the different things I spend in it. First of all, 1 pound of bread that costs..."